The following program contains mature subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
The latest trends and hottest topics, love and sex, handled honestly and with passion. Here's Dr. Lori, CJAD 800.
Tonight on the program, alternative sexuality. Ever hear of pup play? Human dogs? Human puppies? We're going to tell you about what pup play is all about tonight. Alternative sexuality. We focus on all things that are out of the, let's say, out of the vanilla, out of the norm. Vanilla is, you know, non-alternative. I don't even know how to say it anymore. But we are joined by our regulars, Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com, and also by Dane Stewart, who is an advocate for the human pup community. He is the founder of TalkingDogProductions.ca. He holds the title of International Puppy 2018. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you got a lot of explaining to do.
Okay,
because for most of us, we have no idea what this is all about.
Right. Well, I think when it comes to human pup play, for those who are not familiar with it, the first thing to get off the table is that it does not involve real dogs.
Okay,
this
good.
Is human beings role-playing dogs to varying degrees. And it looks a little bit different for everybody who engages with it. But there are different reasons why people will engage with human pup play. For example, you might have people who are into it for the power dynamic. So if you've seen... This is a horrible example to bring up, but 50 Shades of Grey.
Yes. They hate it too, by the way.
I know, but it's a good point of entry for people who are not familiar with the kink and BDSM scene. But 50 Shades of Grey, we have this woman who's getting off on being treated as a submissive to this man who's a dominant. Mm-hmm. In human pup play, a lot of people get off on that. A similar sort of power dynamic where you are an animal, you are being treated like a pet, you are being treated like a submissive, and that generates a lot of pleasure for people. Another big aspect of this is a playfulness. So as a human dog, you give yourself the permission to get down on all fours, to completely let go of your human thoughts, of the human side of things, and just be a dog. Chew on toys, lick things, bite things, whatever impulse crosses your mind. And for a lot of people, that's really freeing. It's a kind of play that we don't allow ourselves to access post-childhood. And so human pup play is a means to access that childhood play that...
How different is that from the furry community?
Well, there's a lot of overlap, actually. Human pup play, there are a lot of pups in the furry community. Mm-hmm. For those who aren't familiar, the furry community, and it's not my area of expertise.
It's okay. You can tell us what you more than us.
Well, it's people who will... The furry community, as far as I understand it, it's very gear-oriented. So these people will have fursonas, which is like a persona, but mm-hmm. a fursona.
Right.
Yeah. And they'll have a fursuit, which is attached to that fursona. So they'll put on this big, like, furry suit, usually
it's
some
like
kind of...
human stuffed animals, basically.
Yeah, like human stuffed animals. There'll be different animals. They might be a fox, they might be a bear, they might be a whatever. And when they put on that fursona, it gives them the permission to behave in a completely different manner. They're completely anonymous. They can explore different forms of affection, different forms of play, different forms of sexuality. And the human pup community is similar to that. Every pup will have their own sort of pup personality. And for a lot of people, that will be vastly different from how they behave in everyday life. It sort of becomes an escape for them and a chance to play differently.
I'd love to know how you discovered this.
For sure. A lot of people these days are discovering human pup play through the internet.
Of course.
Well, it's become...
But how? You've got to search it. Like, something has to interest you to get to that, right?
For sure. Uh-huh. I mean, I don't know if any of you have ever gone down a Tumblr hole when you're on Tumblr and you start it just like... Oh, it's difficult to describe with a language that's not going to get me in trouble.
No,
but
yes.
You start with something very vanilla, and then you follow a hashtag, and then you follow another hashtag, and you follow 37 more hashtags, and an hour later, you're pleasuring yourself to something you never thought that you would have.
Okay.
For a lot of people, they discover it that way. For me, it was through gay dating apps.
Okay.
A lot of people probably heard of Grindr.
Yep.
Which is a virtual app. You create a profile. You can see other gay men who are in your vicinity who
right.
want to, you
it's
know,
like Tinder for
like,
gay men.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But Grindr was first. The gays
yes,
created it
Grindr
first.
Grindr was first. That's right.
The gay always the first to create something.
I mean, the gay men were pretty gung-ho about creating an app that got them sex faster and easier.
So how did you discover pup play through these apps? This is our alternative panel, by the way, and we're talking along with Pierre and Catherine with Dane Stewart, who is an advocate for the human pup community.
Yeah, well, so on Grindr, on Scruff is another one, Recon, Growler. There's a lot of different
okay.
gay apps. Everybody uploads a photo to accompany their profile. And I saw a photo of this guy wearing what looked to be some sort of dog mask.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very popular thing in the human pup community. People will have hoods or masks that are shaped like a dog's face, a dog's
okay.
muzzle. It might be made out of neoprene. It might be made out of rubber. It might be made out of leather. But I encountered one of these on the app Scruff. And the man who was wearing it was this very built rugby player here in Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so turned on by this picture that I messaged him and I said I was interested in learning about what he was wearing there, why he was wearing it. And he agreed to meet up with me. We met up, mm-hmm. had a drink. And
so this was yeah. accidental for you? This, I mean, when you were younger, was there any indication that this was something...
When I was younger, there were always indications that I was submissive,
okay,
for sure. And I think this was a really good outlet for exploring my submissiveness. But to say that I was a pup earlier in my life,
you wouldn't have known what it was,
yeah.
right? Okay,
yeah.
But you remember feeling like you were the submissive one, and this just fit with the submissive.
Mm-hmm. Because a lot of pups identify as submissive. Not all. There are some pups who will be an alpha dog or who
okay.
might be a pup and also, you know, a BDSM master. But a lot of pups are submissives. It lends itself really well to being, you know, on a leash, on all fours, being ordered around, being treated like an animal. That degradation, that humiliation.
Although we shouldn't treat animals like that.
Well,
we should be so kind to them.
Animals, dogs like a pack leader.
Right, that's true too. So they
that's
like
true.
A master.
They do
better with a master.
A lot
do.
Of them do.
Right.
A lot of them are also independent.
I mean actual, you know, actual animals.
Go ahead, Catherine.
Well, actual animals. Dogs are in a pack and they want
mm-hmm.
a dominant person to
lead them.
You know, to lead them.
You're speaking as a dominant right now. You're
well,
you're an alpha.
Well,
in
I
your
am,
pack.
But you know what? Even if I was a submissive, I own actual live actual
animals
that are dogs, and you need to be the master with them. You can't let the dogs run your household.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, dogs like being told what to do.
I used to have a tiny, tiny little dog who ran the household. She did not accept anybody to be her master.
Yep.
She was adamant. She was going to do it. There was no way to change it. This texter writes, hello, it sounds like this is a lot like human horseplay. Is that the same thing? What's human horseplay?
Yeah, it is. It's very similar to human horseplay.
What is
or,
human horseplay?
It's usually called pony play.
Pony play? Okay.
What we would call pony play, yeah.
And that's when a person would take on the role of a pony in usually a DS dynamic, a dominant submissive
okay.
Power exchange. Again, it's not my area of expertise, but the person might wear some gear, might wear a mask that's similar to a
so
horse
very,
or a pony.
Very similar kind
yeah.
of thing, just with a different kind of animal. Again, we're talking about the human pup community, pup play, which has nothing to do with real animals. I just want to put that out there. This is not about bestiality or anything of the sort. So we want to make that very clear. This is our BDSM or alternative sexuality panel. We have Dane Stewart. We have Catherine and Pierre of BDSM Circle. If you have questions, they will answer them. 514-800 to text in or 514-790-0800. I want to hear more about the human pup community. And there's some good questions about regular sex versus pup sex that we'll talk about.
Your relationship's on the line. Connect with Dr. Lori now. 514-790-0800. Passion. News Talk Radio. CJAD 800.
That's an old song. An oldie but a fitting one right here. Why we're talking about human pup play. Dane Stewart joins our panel tonight, our alternative sex panel. He holds the title of International Puppy 2018, like the Miss Universe of human dogs, basically. We also have Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com. They're always here. Would love to get your questions about anything alternative in the sexuality world. 514-800 to text in. So this texter writes, do practitioners of this, and they put in quotes, strange phenomenon. It's only strange to those who are not in that, right, I suppose. Equally engage in the real thing as well, but then goes, first I stop there saying, okay, do you have regular sex, right? Does it always involve that? And then they go on to say, as in bestiality. Bestiality is an illegal practice with non-consensual beings, which this is not what we're talking about.
No.
For us, we're into BDSM, we're into exchange of power, and we love animals. And we will never accept for anybody to hurt any animals doing something like this. It's not acceptable. It's you're saying about it's illegal, but it's immoral. I mean,
well, and it because essentially the animals not can consent.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
We have pets, and one of our pets is a rather large dog. So when we're talking to Vinny, you know, I'll say, you know, I have a large dog and stuff, and it is sad how often they think I'm talking about bestiality. And
no.
I'm very, very clear. But because, you know, it's just real life. If you know, I was going to take up with you, you're going to come to my house, there's a great big dog there. So if you're terrified of dogs, we're probably not a good match. But I try not to judge, but in this case, I find it disgusting, and I tell them. And
mm-hmm. So anybody who practices these kinds of things on, you know, that get aroused by this, do you also enjoy regular sexual activity?
For sure. And there are a couple of things to unpack. Like all of you just mentioned, one of the things that I love about the BDSM and the kink community is that consent is always so central. Mm-hmm. So we're always communicating about that, and it is impossible for an animal to communicate about that. So that never enters the equation here. One thing that you might find interesting, there are a lot of pups in the community who are not in it for sexual reasons.
Right.
There are different reasons that people engage in this practice, and a lot of people engage in it just for the playfulness. When you are down on all fours and you're behaving like a dog, you have permission to turn off all of the adult anxious parts of your brain mm-hmm. and just be present for a minute. It's almost like doing yoga. That's the most accessible way that I can
downward
explain it.
Dog, baby.
downward facing human dog. But you know when you're doing yoga and you just are able to shut off all of the
yes,
outside world.
That's the purpose.
It's similar to that, and there are a lot of people who are just in the community for achieving that headspace, achieving that sort of meditation. Now, there's a whole other segment of the community that are definitely in it for the sex.
Okay,
and you can have some really hot sex when you are behaving like a dog and you were wearing a collar and somebody's pulling your collar from behind, and I won't go into any more detail.
Hot for some, and for others they don't see any arousing quality to that.
But it is interesting to see this, because you're talking about the exchange of power, what we would call surrendering, and you know, in another situation, often people are in power, want to submit, to forget about all the, what you call the adult, quote-unquote, part of, you know, of them. And I think it's a beautiful example you're showing there. And it's the same thing. The exchange of power, they want to surrender, they want to forget about it, they want to be something else or somebody else
right.
for
a time.
That's
the role play
the role play part,
of it.
Yeah. So, and what I'm finding interesting is the pup play seems to be more and more popular right now. We're seeing more and more of it.
Yeah, well, and I have some theories about this. One of the reasons why human pup play is so popular right now is definitely the internet.
Yes.
The circulation of images and the creation of online communities where people can form bonds, connect, and communicate anonymously about these desires, which previously were seen to be taboo.
Right.
But I think another important thing to examine is where society is at emotionally. And there's a lot of anxiety and a lot of depression and a lot of mental health issues that are highly prevalent today that I don't think have been as present if we go back one or two decades. Mm-hmm. And it sort of correlates to exactly when human pup play has become extremely popular. And a lot of the pups that I know in the community are people who deal with mental illness, who deal with anxiety, who deal with depression. And so pup play becomes a tool for mitigating that mental health situation. One of the important things to note is that BDSM, while it may be therapeutic, should never be a substitution for therapy.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank you.
That's right.
If you have, you know, mental health problems, you should definitely see a professional. But if this is something that helps you, if this is a community that gives you access to
a feeling of belonging too,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Right.
That's something that you should feel free to explore. And
This texter writes, and it's interesting, and it's a question I've been asked a lot. Laura, you're a psychologist. Can you honestly say there's nothing psychologically dysfunctional and hence unhealthy about desiring to be mistreated, humiliated, and thus degraded like a subhuman abused beast, despite how consensual it may be? So is it always about being treated as a subhuman abused beast?
It is not. Okay. Sometimes it's merely about playfulness, and I can jump in there and talk about...
Please, I will answer with the psychiatric literature, but go ahead.
I'm also going to comment a little bit about the psychiatric literature. So if we want to jump to the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual for Mental Disorders...
Which we use as psychologists and psychiatrists to diagnose mental illness.
Yes, mm-hmm. And it's now in its fifth volume. There were previous volumes, which were, we've moved a long way from when it was first published in, I believe it was the late 60s. Mm-hmm. And presently there is a categorization in the DSM called paraphilic disorder.
Yeah.
Paraphilia means essentially attraction to a non-normative sexual object or sexual practice.
Right, which is very common, which, mm-hmm. you know, BDSM falls into that. Any kink, any fetish falls into these paraphilias, which are now not seen as disorders. There's a whole other section now. There's people who can have this kind of stuff where they have a disorder and those not. And there's a distinguishing factor here. There's two, actually, is that it has to cause distress to a person and they have to be engaging in this to be hurting psychologically or physically someone else who's non-consensual. And there might have been a third one. I forget the third one.
Yeah, I think it varies a little bit from specific paraphilia.
Right,
another,
right. But essentially, no, it does not. This kind of behavior, because the person engaging in it is not being harmed by it, they're not harming anybody else, they're not distressed by it, it is not considered a dysfunction or a disorder of any kind. And this is where we're learning an awful lot about the scope or the variety of sexuality that's out there.
Well, and to maybe try to make it a little bit more accessible for some of the listeners who aren't into human pup play, mm-hmm. For me, an interesting question to pose is where do we draw the line? If we're going to say that human pup play is a sexual practice that is taboo, that shouldn't be practiced because it's too weird, where do we draw that line in terms of paraphilia? So I'm into behaving like a dog. Other people might be into wearing leather and getting whipped. Let's downgrade a further degree. Other people might be into lingerie, into mm-hmm. Feet, into nipples.
Cosplay.
Into cosplay. If we keep stepping it back, all of these things, depending on your view, can be seen as not normal. But we have to draw the line somewhere, and I don't think it should be at the practice, but it should be at how that practice is affecting that person or others. Players.
Right. Because they say, well, there's quite a difference between enjoying a fetish and wanting to be abused. But what if the I'm going to put abuse in quotation marks because they're asking to be treated a certain way, which causes them the enjoyment. There's, you know, maybe Catherine, you can respond to that being a dominant.
Well, I think, I mean, humiliation is so very different for every person. It's something that's deeply personal. You know, someone who's told to get on their hands and knees may not find that degrading at all. Whereas someone, this is just a horrifying thing. Oh my God. And I'm guessing that for you, Dane, to be led around on a leash is not, it doesn't feel like you're being degraded at all. And
or abused.
Or abused mm-hmm. or humiliated. It might be in certain situations, you know, but it's so different that it's how it really affects that person. You know, for some person, you know, walking by and getting a slap on the butt is like the most humiliating thing in the world. And someone else thinks that's great. It's a hoot. So,
Again, definitions and also how one experiences it is the most, that part is the most important thing that makes something a disorder or not. I know this can get confusing, but we're going to try and, you know, kind of flush it out a little bit and see if we can make more sense of it for you.
The following program contains mature subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
From the pleasure to the pain and everything in between. Passion with Dr. Lori. News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Tonight, it's Alternative Sexuality. We talk about BDSM, mostly bondage, discipline, sadomasochism, or domination, submission, as it's most commonly known. Also talk about fetishes, and tonight we're talking about one particular fetish, which is pup play. Dane Stewart joins our panel, along with Pierre and Catherine of BDSM Circle. .com. So we have quite a few comments. I think it's a very misunderstood, you know, and the common misconception is that there has to be something mentally wrong with people who engage in either BDSM or any form of humiliation. As this person says, I do not think it is by chance that people longing for these kinds of activities also have mental health issues. Underneath, I see it as a cry for help. No, nothing healthy should be humiliating, even if not distressing. Now, thanks for sharing, guys. Now I know yet more weird things. So how would you answer that?
I don't think it is humiliating for a lot of people.
It's the humiliation they're enjoying.
Not necessarily.
Well, some people enjoy humiliation play.
But there's some people who like to be pups that it's not humiliating for. They like the caressing, the petting, the
idea
that they're
being... But talk about it from the BDSM community rather than the pup community.
Okay, well, I've had a female pup sub.
Forget pups. Let's just talk about BDSM in general, the humiliation, and what they're saying here is that anybody who's looking for to be humiliated must have an underlying mental health issue or something.
Well, maybe I can help here. We always talk about humiliation. We always talk about pain. But some people what don't realize is often when you're in public, you want to show off your submissive. You want her or him to be beautiful and nice looking, or beautiful bondage, beautiful clothing, or you're doing a beautiful scene with them in public. And this, some submissive, they want this. It's not just humiliation. They're sometimes bringing, you know, making them feel that they're special, that they're more beautiful, or, you know. So this is... I don't know. I don't know why people always see the negative part of this.
Well, you know, people, it's hard to understand a lot of things that fall outside of the norm with the understanding, you know, with, we all think what we do is, you know, that's the norm, right? It's normal. But anything that others do that do not match what we do is somehow abnormal.
Like, for instance, we have friends that are into pop, actually, and our friend that is a top was proud to show off his pop, You know, he had the beautiful mask. He had the beautiful oof. I don't know what you call them, mm-hmm. but and it was quite beautiful. I mean, you know, and I don't know. So it's not just.
But the way you describe it is not necessarily the way. You're in the community. You see it one way. Other people on the outside can see it as you know, look at all the text we have, weird, all kinds of, you know,
but
descriptives.
For me, sex comes down, like, the politics of sex comes down to the ability to choose what you want to do and what gives you pleasure. And
yes.
Other people shouldn't be allowed to stand in the way of you making those choices as long as those choices are made between consenting adults. So people who get off on humiliation, who find pleasure in that, it's unfair to say that they shouldn't be allowed to do that. And it's unfair to say that those people have mental illness or have psychiatric problems when there is now a bevy of psychiatric and psychological literature that supports the fact that these people do not have
That's
psychiatric
right. That's
illnesses.
And that is the literature. And we've talked about the science before because several studies have looked at practitioners of BDSM, including humiliation, including, you know, submission, domination, with a normative population in comparison, and actually have found that, you know, not only was there
A lot of people.
There was more mental health.
Good health.
Good health, exactly. They were psychologically healthier, which was interesting. You know, flies in the face of what most people are thinking.
I think it's because of the negotiation, and you have to be able to express yourself. You have to be able to communicate. And you have to be self-aware to realize that, yes, this is something that's out of the norm, but I like it and I want it and I want to try it and we'll do it this way.
Yet a lot of people, we just got another text, one word, sick, right? And I'm sure you guys face this all the time. And every time we do a show on anything alternative in sexuality, we get, you know, weird, sick, diabolical, whatever, you know.
And it's strange because I'm listening today and he's well-spoken, he's educated, which a lot of people should listen to this. And, you know, and I don't know why they call.
Because people don't. It's hard to wrap your head around something that is so far away from your own experiences. That's why.
But yet the media push so much BDSM right now. If you listen to the song, the movies, the TV show, I mean.
Well, it's much more mainstream. I guess pup play is less mainstream than the BDSM stuff.
Well, and also I think the kinds of representation of BDSM that we see that are being pushed into the mainstream are a very particular type of it. It's a type that sells material. If
right.
we look at 50 Shades of Grey, that is representation of BDSM, which is being pushed into the mainstream, but it's not an
All
accurate representation.
Right.
No, it's not. Thank you.
It's a representation where we see the fantasy of it, but we don't see the reality of communication and negotiation that should underpin any sort of these BDSM.
Well, they did try to show the negotiation
yeah.
and the
yes,
contracts
very
and all of that. Let me just share a couple more texts. As a member of the pup community, this texter writes, the interest I have in puppy play is for the headspace. No worries about work, mortgage, etc. Just simply silly fun. Also, I am a very shy person in everyday life. It's very difficult for me to meet new people in general, but when I'm a pup, the social interaction with handlers, I guess that's what I call it, and other pups is so much simpler. A couple of sniffs, barks, belly rubs, nibbles, and nuzzles, and you made a new friend.
Yeah, well, and that's something that I don't think I've touched on so far, which is pup play gives you the permission to sort of experience affection in a different way,
mm-hmm.
in this really playful way with, like, you know, head scratches, belly rubs, that sort of stuff that, like, you don't, I think, what we would consider normal, and I'm putting that
mm-hmm.
in quotation marks,
yes.
We don't get to experience in a lot of our normal relationships.
And I think the idea, like this person writes, you know, in everyday life, more shyness, but when you put on a role, you can get out of that shell because you're putting on a role, so you're kind of removed from that,
mm-hmm.
And all the constraints that go with, you know, in the in the world.
I like that text, by the way.
Yeah, well, it's listen, this comes from somebody who's a practitioner, so... and then this texter writes that to the lady who criticized heterosexual human beings do different sexual positions, including the doggy style. That does not make us weird. So why should dominant and submissive be considered abnormal? Another one there. We do have a little bit of time left. And again, more text, although I love this one. I want to end this segment on this. People need to be more open-minded. And really, that is the purpose. That's why we're here is, yeah, stretch your mind a little bit. Look at the variety of sexuality that's out there. That is non-sick, if you want. Like, these are the words that you guys are using, but not, you know, that is non-problematic. It's just that the way we look at it, you know, we seem to make it a big problem. So we'll continue this and answer more of your questions and text. Take my hand,
the flame. Straight Talk, it's all inclusive. Passion with Dr. Lori. News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
We are learning so much tonight. We have our... Alternative Sexuality panel. Our special guest is Dane Stewart. He is here. He represents the human pup community. He holds the title of International Puppy. He also won Pup Montreal in 2016. And we had him on the air once before talking about his play, which I found absolutely fascinating, called The History of Sexuality, which is back at Place des Arts, no less. I want to hear more about this.
Yeah, we're bringing the human pup community on stage at Place des Arts at the 5e Salle space there as part of Fierté Montréal this August. So The History of Sexuality is a play that I've spent the last 3 years working on. It's a play about Montreal's queer community. I wrote it based on interviews and focus groups that I ran with queer Montrealers. So it's all based on, you know, real people, real people's experiences. And it touches on BDSM, sex work, pup play, disability, race. It's a really intersectional piece, and it's a snapshot of Montreal's queer community. It's going on stage as part of Fierté Montréal at Place des Arts from August 9th to the 12th, four shows only, and tickets are on sale. We just went
already
on sale yesterday. Yeah,
great.
At placedesarts.com.
Wow, this is a huge coup for you. This is amazing.
Oh, yeah. For all those people who are wondering, thinking that human pup play is very weird, that it's inaccessible, I encourage you to come see the play because we put on stage a very intimate, a very loving relationship. It's not all about the sex. So I think it might be a good way for you to understand why we do it. Yeah.
I think this is great. This kind of play gives you a bird's eye view a little bit into the community and all these kind of alternative sexual practices that people are not exposed to. But this would be like watching a play is not the same as going to a dungeon or going to it really, you know, you're sitting in a seat, Place des Arts. It's all very, you know,
yeah,
upscale.
It will be upscale. It will also be a little bit sexy. So,
well, I would hope so.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So a couple texts here. This one's cute. I'll see if I can do a good job. You tell me. Arr, good job, Dane. Thanks, Dr. Lori. Lickies to you all from one of your pup friends, I guess.
It sounds like it is from one of my pup friends.
That's right.
Welcome to the community.
That's right. I love this text, too. Why do people who think it's sick listen to the show? That's always a great, great question, you know? I always think of it as like, it's like watching a car crash. You really don't want to see it, but your eyes, it's like, you know, you pass by and you've got to stop to see what the tragedy is. It's a little bit like that, I think.
People
can turn off the radio, right? They're always welcome to. This may not be for everybody, and we accept that. That's okay. Texter writes, hello, what turns us on? Sex is like our sense of humor. Everyone's a little different. Yes.
It's true.
And then another texter, if you look at all sexual orientations, they are very creative. So, I mean, there's a whole lot of variation, and it's just that you have, you know, some part of the community that says, hey, you're not hurting anybody. I mean, this is my attitude too. It's whatever is safe, consensual, you enjoy, not causing you distress, You're not harming anybody. I may not like it. I may think it's strange. It doesn't matter what I think. It matters that you can do what you want to do without having to be, you know, bullied, insulted, whatever, all of that is.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's important for all of us to know that. Yeah. And as one of my colleagues says, you can't yuck someone else's yum. You may not understand. It's like food, right? I may love avocado, but you may think it's the grossest thing on earth, right?
Well, it's good if it's on toast.
Well, but you may hate. Let's just say you hate it, right? Stick with the program, Catherine. Like, really, I'm trying to make a point. Don't make it more difficult for me.
Hey, that was a millennial thing I put in there, the avocado toast. Never mind. I got it. I was here for you. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, there you go. I like that too. Another text here. Consent is a very tricky word when it comes to enjoying being abused, for instance. In that case of a woman being humiliated, abused, and degraded by her partner who stays within the relationship, nonetheless claiming she loves him and that he's not treating her badly, thereby justifying his behavior, despite how obvious his abuse may be in the eyes of more objective onlookers, is nevertheless considered psychologically unsound and in denial, and consequently regarded as requiring professional help, regardless of her arguments and justifications to the contrary. And likewise, despite what BDSM submissives may claim, how can one be sure that their enjoyment of abuse is not equally rooted in denial and low self-esteem?
I'd like to say the difference is because if it's BDSM and it's sane and consensual, you can stop it at any time. It's right. Not just being an obnoxious husband who's going to be treating you rotten. It's you can use a safe word. You can say, hey, this isn't cool. You stop that. It's not okay. That's the difference, because the submissive is allowing it and they can stop it.
Right.
Go ahead,
Dane. Last words.
I would agree that when we're talking about abuse, I think the important thing to focus, if we're going to come to a shared definition, I think harm is a really important concept when we're talking about abuse. Abusive relationships are harmful to the person involved with them.
Right.
If you're engaging in BDSM and there's humiliation or there's pain or whatever, it's not harmful to that person. It's pleasurable for that person.
That's
once
right.
It crosses that line and becomes harmful, then we can have a conversation about abuse. But
that's right. Well said. And I think we end on that. But that's a very, very important distinction to make. And I think that's one of the big misconceptions that people have. Thank you so much, guys, for being here. Pierre and Catherine can be reached at BDSMCircle.com. And where can you be reached?
If you're interested in learning more about the human pup community, look me up on Facebook. WoofMTL is our human pup group for Montreal puppies on Facebook. So you can
Woof
request access
MTL.
There.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for being here and joining us. I hope you'll be back.
Yeah, thank
We'd
you so much.
Love to have you back on.
Yeah, it was a great time.
That's it for us. Thank you so much for listening to Passion. And thank you for all of your texts. Thank you to our technical crew, Dave and Dave. In the master control, appreciate it very much. You can connect with me through my website, drlaurie.com, where you can also find our podcast up there. Coming up next on CJD, the CTV National News. Have a great rest of the evening, and remember to live your life with passion.